Here's Sharon Janes with a story about a young man running a long-distance race.
When my legs hurt, when my throat burned, and I felt like I was going to get sick, I could hear my mother cheering for me, and it made me not want to quit. And I thought, wow, that's what we can do for our kids on a daily basis.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's Tuesday, July 5th. If you missed any of yesterday's program, we continued an interview with Sharon Janes. You can hear it or order the CD by visiting ReviveOurHearts.com. Here's Nancy to continue that conversation.
It's such a joy this week to be talking with my friend Sharon Janes, who is an author and a conference speaker and a radio host. She's a wife, she's a mom, she's a woman who loves and fears the Lord, and that's the thing I most appreciate about her. Thank you for your heart for the Lord and for women, and thank you for being with us in Revive Our Hearts this week.
Thanks, Nancy. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here.
We've been talking about seven principles of the Proverbs 31 woman. These principles form the basis for Proverbs 31 Ministries, where you serve. And we're taking a day on each of these principles. The first principle, just refresh us, is
that she reveres Jesus Christ as Lord of her life and pursues a personal and ongoing relationship with Him.
So that's where everything starts.
Everything starts right there, right at the
virtuous woman, the woman whose praise is the woman who fears the Lord. She's the woman who's building her life on a relationship with the Lord. And we can't say it too often that is the foundation for becoming the kind of woman God made us to be, is a relationship with Christ. And then we said in the second principle, which we looked at in our last conversation, that the next most important relationship in a married woman's life is
with her husband, that she loves, honors, and respects her husband as leader of the home.
And if the relationship in the marriage is not what it needs to be, then that's going to have an impact in her other relationships.
Exactly.
And then the third principle that we want to talk about today relates to women to whom God has entrusted children.
The Proverbs 31 woman nurtures her children and believes that motherhood is a high calling with the responsibility of shaping and molding the children who will one day define who we are as a community and a nation.
Now, that's all kind of lofty.
It is lofty.
But the woman who is right now stuck at home with three toddlers and thinks her world is just spinning out of control, she doesn't feel like she's necessarily defining who we are as a community and a nation, and her calling may not feel like it's a very high calling right at this moment.
You know what? It is the most high calling. And I know when children are small, it can seem so difficult. And when I think about that, I think about how the Chinese grow bamboo. That picture just comes into my mind. They plant the seeds, they fertilize them, and for a year, nothing happens. The second year, they fertilize, they water, nothing happens. Third year, fourth year, fifth year, nothing happens. For 5 years, they don't see anything.
Wow.
But then all of a sudden, in a matter of 6 weeks, that bamboo grows 90 feet.
Wow.
Now, the question is, did it grow in 5 years or did it grow in that short period of time? So we have no idea the impact we're having when they're little, but when they are grown. See, and I also believe, Nancy, that in the Proverbs 31, it says her children rise up and call her blessed.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I know it's not a typical day in her life, but this is a typical picture of her whole life. Because children, when they're three, aren't going to bless you.
Yeah.
But maybe when they're grown, they will. That's where we really get to see the fruit of all those years of investing.
Of course, our culture has so conditioned us for the last 50 years to believe that a career outside the home is more significant, more valuable, making a greater contribution than a woman being at home nurturing her children. And in your Proverbs 31 Ministries, you're really trying to give women a vision for the greatness of that calling, that they are really, as they're molding these little lives, these moms are shaping ultimately the destiny of the community and of the nation and making a long-term investment in the future.
Nancy, I know of no calling that's any higher than that.
And yet, when it comes to the day-to-day realities of being a mom, it's not an easy calling.
It's not easy. I don't know of anything that's really worthwhile that's easy, come to think of it. And I think this is one of the hardest jobs that I've ever loved. And now seeing my son in college and seeing the things that he's doing, I'm starting to see some of those seeds start to grow. And it's just so rewarding.
So you look back and you say, it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
You'd do it again.
Absolutely. Do it again. I don't think I'd change anything.
Sharon, as you look back on the years of parenting, now that you've got an adult child, what are some of the things that you're glad you did, some of the things that you believe have paid off in the long run?
Well, Nancy, when I became a parent, as we mentioned on our earlier broadcast, I was not raised in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
So when I became a parent, I began to be a student to learn, what do I need to do to be a great mom? I went back and read about men and women in history and what their moms were like. I listened to people talk about what good parenting looked like. And I saw seven key ingredients that continue to come up in good parenting. And I've outlined them with an acronym called BLESSED. From Proverbs 31, that her children rise up and call her blessed. And the B stands for beacon. She's a beacon. She's available. She's there and present in her children's lives, much like you would see a beacon on the coast, a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's there to weather the storms. It's there to point the light when we are showing the light of Christ so that they can be at the safe harbor of home, and then we point the way for them to leave. The second is L. She's a listener. And Nancy, that is so key. And most parents would think, oh, I listen to my children. But I love what Ross Campbell said in his book, How to Really Love Your Child. He said that most parents really do love their children, but they don't know how to show it. And the way he said that we show our children that we love them is by listening to them and looking at them when we're listening. He calls that focused attention.
Was there a season in your child's life when you found that was particularly important to be a good listener?
I can tell you when it paid off the most, and that was when he was a teenager. I remember I was telling a friend about Stephen telling me this story about this little dating situation in high school, and they were going, I cannot believe that Stephen told you that. And I said, you know why he told me? It's because I listened to him when he was little. Now, it was hard when he was little, when what he was telling me wasn't exactly very interesting. And maybe I was busy washing the dishes or dusting, and those little hands would come and tug on me to stop what I was doing. And it would be very easy to not look, not stop what I was doing, but continue and say, I'm listening. Go ahead and tell me. And that doesn't do it for a child. They know that you're really not paying attention. What we really need to do is stop what we're doing. Put down the dust cloth. Put down the dish rag. Kneel if you need to make eye contact with that child. And then they know that you are really listening.
Look in their eyes.
They are valuable and important to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think about that with my own husband. I might walk in the room when he's watching a football game on television. You know, he can push the little mute button, but that's not enough. I want him to turn it off and to look at me when I'm talking to him. It's the same way with their kids. And if we do that when they're little, if we really listen, then when they get to adolescence, they will continue to talk to us. Now, another key ingredient to being a good listener with children is, I know every mother has had this experience. They pick up the child from school. They say, what did you do today at school?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, nothing. Yeah. Or how was your day?
Fine.
So I think what we need to do is learn how to ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to provide for your website a list of good questions to ask your children to get them to be able to communicate with you. What, instead of saying, what did you do today? You would say, what did Mrs. Smith talk about in history class today?
Mm-hmm.
Who did you sit with at lunch today? For younger children, things like, what do you think Daddy does at work? Maybe when they get older, if money was no object and you knew you could succeed, what would you like to do with your life? Asking them good questions that cannot be answered with one word.
Right. Yeah. Will help draw them out.
Help draw them out, exactly.
Okay, that's the L in blessed. What's the E?
Oh, E is encourager. And I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite ones. You know, Nancy, one day I went to see my nephew, Stu, run in a cross-country race. And, you know, cross-country is not exactly a spectator sport if you've ever been to one of those. But basically, the boys line up, and then they say go. Then they disappear in a trail down the woods. And they're gone for about 20 minutes. And then they reappear again. Well, I went to this race. I'd never seen him run before, and I went with his mom, and Pat began to yell. She yelled, go, Stu. It was incredibly loud. And then she'd run to another part of the trail, and she'd yell again, go, Stu. At one point, a man yelled, he can't hear you. But she continued to yell for 20 minutes.
She's his cheerleader.
She was. And after the race, this is the key, I said, Stu, when you ran, could you hear your mother yelling? He said, oh, yes. I heard her. I heard her the entire time. And I said, what did that do for you? He said, it made me not want to quit. When my legs hurt, when my throat burned, and I felt like I was going to get sick, I could hear my mother cheering for me, and it made me not want to quit. And I thought, wow, that's what we can do for our kids on a daily basis. When they go out and face social combat every day, and kids can be very cruel, they can come back home and know that we're going to be their cheerleader, and we can cheer for them to make them not want to quit. And Nancy, as they become teenagers and they're playing the game of life, they're going to look up in those stands to see if you're cheering for them. And if your seat is vacant and you're not cheering them on, they're going to look for someone who will.
And, you know, it's so much easier and more natural to fall into the role of the critic, the one who is always correcting, the one who is demeaning or belittling or putting down. And I think this is a tough thing. I'm thinking especially of some homeschool moms who are with their children all day long, and they're having to correct things and point out things that need to be changed or fixed. But it's so important that your children are hearing more often than the criticism and the correction, that they're hearing the words of blessing and encouragement and affirmation. All of us blossom and bloom under that kind of encouragement. Well, we're not going to get to the other words in that acronym today. We'll pick those up in our next conversation. But boy, we've sure heard heartful today, enough to encourage moms in their role to say, look, you have a significant role. So ask yourself, Mom, am I there for my children? Am I there not just physically? Am I all there? Am I listening? Am I engaged? Am I cheering on my child in the race of life? And remember that the seeds you sow today probably won't reap an immediate harvest, but they will reap a harvest in time. In fact, God's word says, don't be weary in doing well, because in due season, you will reap if you don't get tired and give up.
Nancy Lee DeMoss and her guest, Sharon Janes, have been encouraging busy moms. If you'd like to learn more about staying in the race even when you'd like to give up, you can read about it in Sharon Janes' book, A Woman's Secret to a Balanced Life. You can order it by going to reviveourhearts.com. You can also order by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. When you order, you won't pay any shipping costs. But would you think about giving an additional donation? It will help us connect with listeners like Julia. She emailed us and said, "Every day on my way to school, I listen to Revive Our Hearts. Not only is it a great way to help me to focus on Christ as I make my way through high school, but it has really changed my perspective on simply living a godly life as a young woman. I never knew that while just driving to school, I could learn so much more about my Heavenly Father." If you'd like to help us invest in the lives of listeners like this one, you can send a donation to our new address. Here it is: Revive Our Hearts, Box 2000, Niles, Michigan, 49120. What's a better title, housewife or stay-at-home mom? Sharon Janes will give us her opinion tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.